right. Amen. Well, Sunday mornings, anything and everything that can go wrong will go wrong. Josh, turn me on here. Turn my cordless on. Alex called me this morning. He locked his keys in his car.
Is he locked in the car too?
No, he's not locked in the car. But I got it. I got his car open. We got his keys. I'm going to mess with him, tell him he has to have it towed. And I got his keys in my office, so got in there. But then one of the buses, two buses wouldn't start. And they got one got a flat tire. It's just always something, man, always. And I'm running late, and I get here, and I go, man, I can't believe I didn't get here earlier. So there's always something like that going on. And then the lights downstairs, one of the classroom won't work, messing with that thing, trying to get it fixed, and you know how it is. It's crazy. So you pray for Sunday morning, man. Pray, because anything and everything to do. Thank God it wasn't nobody getting hurt. So Brother Larry Seals called last night and asked us to continue praying for his mom. If he went through the surgery, all right. And but it could be, you know, she's going to be a long way to recovery. So you pray for her. She broke her ankle, and it went through her skin and just a bunch of stuff. She's 84 years old. So I pray for her and ask the Lord to help her. Bob, how you feeling, bro? You feeling all right?
Yeah, the Lord seemed fit to get up again today. So.
Amen. Amen. Good. Amen. Good. 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 Amen. And Brother Bubba's got his sister here today. She's all the way from Charlottesville, Virginia. Praise the Lord. That's a blessing. And a brother from Newcastle, or is it from Wilmington? No, Middletown. Middletown. Come on up here and give word testimony. Tell us how you got saved. Come on. The Sunday school class. That's why we're doing this. So, yeah. A lot of structure. I've got it. Got it down to science. Somebody's going to altar today. Philippians chapter 4. Yeah, my son Samson came back from Bible school. He wanted to kick everybody out. And I said, "You don't know what you're talking about, boy." I mean, you know, anybody didn't line up, he wanted to kick them out. And so I told him, I said, there's some things that you need to go learn that I can't teach you. And that's the only way you learn is you pastor on your own. And that's what he's called me up after a year. And he said, you're right. You're right. So there's some things that, you know, being a son of a pastor, some things, you know, the father can't teach you because a lot of times the son, you know, he's got a different opinion, this and that, but he goes and learns itself. Not saying... Now, I wasn't saying, Samson's got more structure than I got, that's definitely for sure. And I think, even better equipped. So what a blessing that is. So God's going to use you, bro. He's going to use you. Amen. You just stay faithful to him. Philippians chapter 4, and verse 5, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And, you know, being in moderation of knowing that the things before, he says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for and joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And he goes, I entreat thee, verse 3, also true yoke fellows, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement and also and with the other fellow laborers whose names are written in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And then let your moderation be known on all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And as a Christian, you're supposed to be real careful about how you live, what you say, what your moderation. And some people say that means that you can drink a little bit in moderation, cuss a little bit in moderation. You can do all these things in moderation. No, not that. But your moderation about being connected too much close to this world and being hooked up too much with this world. Let your moderation be known on all men. Talking about your testimony. I'm losing here. What am I, battery's dying? What's happening there? That all right? Be careful for nothing. It says, but in everything, by prayer, you got to be careful for nothing. I mean, watch out for everything. Be careful. The Bible tells us that the devil walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he would love to devour Bible-believing Christians and Bible-believing, living for God, he would love to devour them, especially their kids and the kids' churches. You know, it always boggles my mind when I got saved over in Washington D.C. Went to church, and these young people sitting in there, raised in a Christian home, they were trying to get out in the world. And then the guy, I just got saved out of the world and or got, you know, all kind of, was in all kinds of mess, came to church. I wanted to learn something about God. Got into church, and they wanted to find out what was going on out there so they could get out there. I was already there, man. I was in prison, and my brothers got life and all that stuff. I wanted to know God. I wanted to know what God had to say. I wanted to know all the things that was right. I was tired of living the way we was living. And so... I got in. I wanted to learn. I wanted to know. And what happens is, you got Christians that's not caring about what their testimony is or what they, the way they live, and they don't care about how it affects other people. And you've got to live a Christian life as if Jesus Christ is coming tomorrow or today, and your life. I mean, you're going to stand before God in judgment and as a judgment seat of Christ. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." It amazes me how people will make decisions without prayer. It amazes me how people make decisions without seeking God and giving God thanks. They make all kinds of crazy decisions. It's because that's what they want. I want to do it. I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to do what I want to do. And I had people come to me and say, "Well, preacher, I got this job transfer. I'm going out." I said, "Is there a good church out there somewhere that you can go to? Is there a Bible-believing church?" "Well, I don't know." I said, "Hey, man, you don't make a move unless you pray and ask God to show you and make sure there's a good church you can go to and you can serve the Lord there and they believe the book." I mean, you just don't move because of money. If you move because of money, you'll be moving a lot. If you move because of money. Money is not the answer to move. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, that's the ultimate goal, to have peace. Have peace in your life, peace in your soul, man. Peace in your home. Having peace of God, which especially inside, having the peace of God in here. We talked about that last week. People don't have no peace. They try drugs. They try all kinds of things to try to find peace, and they do all kinds of crazy stuff to get peace. And the Bible says, "There is no peace to the wicked," saith my God. When you're living wickedly, there is no peace. You ain't gonna have no peace. You'll try to find something to bring peace in your life. You'll try to find, a radio show, TV show. People are hooked on TV shows. It's amazing how people, I can't believe people would watch The Walking Dead. Amen. They got this series on Lucifer, and they got all these, I can't believe that people get hooked on that stuff. Twilight, people are going crazy over Twilight. Christians. Amen. Christian people. And they don't know nothing about the Bible. But they get hooked on that stuff. And all that stuff is just an offshoot of what the Bible teaches is going to happen. And it's just, a lie, but it's an offshoot because the people are going to, all kinds of mess is going to happen to this earth. And the peace of God which pass all understanding shall keep your hearts and what? Minds. Doc wrote interesting thing here about Buddha. He says the first sermon on how to get peace contains the cream of his doctrine, talking about Buddha. He simply claimed that the birth is suffering because it brings decay, illness, and death. Suffering is caused by the presence of objects we hate, by the separation from the things we love, and not attain what we desire. He said to have peace, there must be a complete ceasing of thirst or cravings to live, and that will be the end of suffering. All this pagan nonsense is just an attempt to kill a universal God-given thirst and hunger, which only God can quench and satisfy. Buddha never read Isaiah 48:18 or Isaiah 26:3. That's a good thing. I mean, in religion, they're teaching, like somebody said, they saw Hillary Clinton give a speech, and she said, "Oh, I'm a Methodist," and she said, "I believe in good works to get to heaven." Yeah, I believe in good works to get to heaven. And like I said, I wouldn't trust neither one of them as far as I could kick this building, man. And they're not our answer anyway. And no matter who gets in office, we still got orders to continue serving God. No matter who gets in office. You get worked up in that political stuff, and a lot of churches get in that political stuff, and they push that stuff and push that stuff and push that stuff, and it's just a bunch of garbage, man. It's just, and I mean, I'm for the lesser evil, and I've heard people say about that, but you pray, God, keep us free, keep us safe, and help us to be able to continue preaching the gospel. And that's our goal. But I've said this in the book of Acts, even though they passed decrees to kill Christians and all that stuff, they kept on going. They kept serving God. It might come down to that. It might come down to where we lose, you lose a lot of things and as Christians, and it's not the end of the world. We're supposed to continue serving God, trying to win people to Jesus Christ. The world's scared to death right now, man. I mean, the world, I remember Doc saying the world's a keg of gunpowder just sitting there waiting to explode. And that's the way the world is right now. There's 20-some wars going on in the world. And you got religions trying to conquer another religion, and religions and people fighting over this, and the Shiites and the Sunnis and the Turks and all that stuff. And everybody thinks the answer is if they get in power. That's not the answer. The answer is when Jesus Christ gets in power. But see, he can get empowered in you and run your life. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. And I'm not worried about the election. I'm praying for it. I pray God let us stay free. God keep us safe. I'd rather have, we got 50-50 chance of Trump. And we know what we're going to get with Hillary, but we got 50-50 chance of Trump. We pray because he's a madman anyway. But God have mercy. I don't know what it's going to be, but I know who's in control, though. And all this stuff's got to come to pass, man. It's got to come to pass. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It'll keep you sound. In the battle, the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a what? Sound mind. And people lose their minds, man. I've seen Christians lose their minds, and they lose their mind over worrying about stuff. You can't sit around and worry about everything. The best thing you can do is drop to your knees and start praying about it. Then you get peace. You start saying, God, help me this and help me there. And God, help my family. Help protect our children. I pray for my children, my grandchildren, and all the church members. I pray for everybody, Christians around this country. I pray, God, protect them. Help them. Help them to live for them. And the Bible says, God should look at Isaiah 26. Look what the Bible says. And we looked at this last week. Isaiah 26. We'll look at it again. I'm talking about peace. Let your moderation be known on all men. Having peace of God, knowing that God's in control. When our house burnt down, my son got run over by a car, all those things, I still had that peace of God there. When we went through all the trials and troubles this life, we still had the peace of God. And there was no voice in my head saying, just curse God and die. There wasn't. It was just trust. Look what the Bible says. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, perfect. Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. That's why I believe every Christian ought to read their Bible every day. Amen. Spend time in the Word of God. Spend time in prayer. If you don't spend time in the Word of God on a daily basis, and some people say, well, I'll just read a couple of verses. No, if you go to a buffet, and you've got the buffet right here in front of you, and you go to a buffet, you're not going to just eat one piece of this and one piece of that, and that's it. You're going to eat, you're going to try to get your money's worth.
Amen.
And that's...
Amen.
You're going to try to eat all you can. And then you come out here and you feel sluggish. But I tell you what, you won't feel sluggish after you read all the Word of God that you can. This is food, man. This is food. And you won't get sluggish. You won't get sleepy. I mean, you will get sleepy. The devil will try to get you to sleep when you start reading the Word of God. But look on down back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, and we talked about this, trash in, trash out. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, or if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on things that are good. Get rid of the trash. I had so much trash put in my head, and even today we get so much trash. Going down the road, hearing different things, you get so much trash. And then you got the phones, stuff will come up on your phone. You got one of those smartphones, and all of a sudden it puts junk up in your, and you look at it, you go, oh, my God. And you get so much trash going in our eyes, our eye gate. Then we hear stuff. You hear, and I feel for the teenagers. Teenagers get so much, man, bombarded, so much. If they're watching movies, and it's amazing how people are movie crazy. You see them out in front of the rural farms, man, at all these Netflix things and all that stuff. People go crazy over movies. And then, you know, you can talk to little kids and talk about the Bible and talk about, you know, things about the Bible, and they'll look at you like you're strange, but then you mention a movie, they know it. They know movies like the back of their hand. Yeah, Christian kids. They know the movies, man. And we're just brainwashing our kids. Brainwashing them. And when they should be, I'm not saying force it down their throat, the Bible. The Bible if they grow up learning the Word of God and studying the Word of God, but it's in there. It can't get rid of it. The Word of, like my brother was saying, the Word of God, man, he says, for God so loved the world, kept hitting him. You look at people, you think, oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. God, have mercy. These people dying, going to hell. They need to get saved. They live like they're, you know, there's no tomorrow. They're going to live it up today. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. Doc used to say this, you know a man, but if you had no restraints, you are, you know, you think, well, what could I get away with? If I could get away with it, nobody knew. What would I do? Nobody knew. And I said, Lord, you know me. Old wretched man that I am. Amen. God, help us. Help us to do right. And the doctor say, Bob Jones, John Wesley used to say, he can talk to a man 15 minutes. He said, in 15 minutes, he'll tell you what that man loves and what he hates. Right. And he said, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I'm talking about thinking on good things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Paul's writing this to the Philippian church, and he's saying, man, you want peace? The world's talking about peace, always wanting to have peace. There is no peace. A Christian can have peace in the middle of a storm. Amen. He says, the God of peace. I like that. The God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that at verse 10, and now at the last your care of me, having flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned that whatsoever state I am, you're in the state of Delaware right now, wherewith to be content. Whatever state you're in, to be content with it. Contentment. But godliness, the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. People are not content today. They're just wanting something. They want to find something. They want to do something. They just got to, I feel like I got to have something. And you're not content. Now, you shouldn't be content with your spiritual walk. That should be also always a constant desire to grow, get closer to him. They ought to be. But he says, I speak in respect of one. He said, I'm not, you know, talking about, they said, we lack opportunity, wherein we were also careful. He says, last care of me, having flourished again. People, they wanted to take care of him. They wanted to help Paul. He said, but I speak in respect of one, for I have learned whatsoever state I am, therewith be content. He said, I'm trusting the Lord no matter what, no matter if you help me, no matter if you don't. And I've said this at the prison the other night. I told the guys, I said, you know what? I said, I say this whenever I preach a funeral, wedding, whatever. I said, I tell the people, I said, I don't care if you like me or not. It makes no difference to me. Amen. I told them, guys, I said, I don't care if you like me or not. It makes no difference. I'm here to help you. Amen. And whether you want to hear it or not, I'm here to help you. I care about you. You should have seen them guys looking. I said, makes no difference whether you like me or not. But every one of them shook my hand. Amen. Every one of them. He says, I speak in respect of one. We have our wants. Everybody has their wants. But God said, in verse 19, look what he says. But he said, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. One of the greatest promises of the Bible, God said, I'll supply your need. Not all your wants. My brother said he wanted to be a millionaire. I had a girl that in this church, man, she's out now. She ain't living for God no more. But she said, I believe the Lord called me to reach the movie stars in Hollywood. I said, what? She wasn't all right in her head. And she said, I want to reach the movie stars in Hollywood. So she's writing them all letters. Now, and it's a wonder they didn't get her for stalking and, you know, have her locked up. But, you know, they said, you know, people have these strange things. I just want to reach this one. I want to reach it. And it's good to have a desire, but her intent was something different. She was hoping maybe one of them find her and marry her, and then she wouldn't have to worry about it the rest of life. But he says, now I speak in respect of want. And everybody has wants. And, you know, the Bible says that God will meet your need, but also he sometimes will give you little handfuls on purpose. He'll give you something that you'd really want. Every once in a while, he'll give you something. Something that's not going to hurt you, though. And there's some things that I've got that I've never prayed about, but I want it. I never prayed about it. I never asked God for it, and the Lord gave them to me. What I really want is see more people saved.
Amen.
We had two saved last Sunday. That was a blessing. I want to see more people saved. I want to see more people living for God.
Amen.
You know, it's a blessing to a pastor that you don't have to worry about people. There's certain people in this church I don't have to worry about. I know they're going to do right no matter what.
Amen.
I know it. But there's some folks, man, they're kind of on the edge. He said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned that whatsoever state I am, therewith be content. And you need to be content with the things God's given you. The devil will try to magnify things and say, look at you. Look what you got. Look at you. Just everything's broke. Everything's broke. My whole life is fixing things. That's my life. It's just fixing things. Whether it's equipment or trucks or cars or people's lives. But the most joy I get out of seeing people's lives get fixed. That's the most joy I get. It's a blessing when you see something fixed and you finally get it done. You go, wow, what a blessing. I got a truck sitting in the garage right now. I sat there the other day looking at that thing. I was going, I didn't want to work on it. I said, meh. I was talking to myself in the garage. I said, what's the matter with you? Come on, get to it. It needs to be fixed. I was talking to myself. My wife said, what? You say something? I said, no, I'm talking to myself. I'm trying to fire myself up to do it. Sometimes you got to talk to yourself.
Amen.
Come on, do right.
Amen.
Do right, you idiot.
Amen.
You call me an idiot? Yeah. Idiot, do right.
Amen.
Whatsoever state I am, there be with it be content. He says, I know how to be abased. And I know how to abound. And everywhere, in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. I mean, you look at Paul's life, and you read what he wrote about in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, when he talks about, you know, he was shipwrecked. There's some things when I read about Paul's life, it makes me shiver. You read about some of the Christians and what they've been through, it scares the fire out of me.
Amen.
What they've been through. My Lord, brother. And they went through it praising God.
Amen.
We Americans are so spoiled.
Amen.
That if somebody gets mad at it on the job and cusses out, we're ready to quit. Man, Paul went through hell, man. And he went through things, he said, you know, shipwreck and, you know, beaten and, you know, perils of robbers and perils of this and perils of that. He's talking about all those things. I said, my Lord, this guy would not quit.
Amen.
Christians will quit over stupid little things.
That's right.
Well, the preacher didn't shake my hand. I'm not coming back to this church no more. Come on, man. It's bigger than us.
Amen.
It's not about us.
That's
it's about serving him. That's why he said, I can do all things through Christ. If I'm hungry, am I full? Verse 12, I know both how to be abased. Oh, yeah? Look, take your Bible, look in 2 Corinthians. Look at it, look what he says. How to be abased? Man, my boy, he went through all kinds. I mean, and then the Lord, on top of that, the Lord told him what he was going to go through. What if God told you ahead of time, all right, here you go. This is what you're going to have to go through. Everyone guaranteed you'd run. You'd run. You'd try to get away from it. You'd try to say, man, I ain't going to go through that. I deserve better than that. And that's what he's talking about, the prosperity gospel. Everybody says, well, you deserve better than that. You ought to be driving a Rolls Royce. You ought to be driving this, or you ought to be living in there, and you ought to have this. There's a big old house there on Route 8. Brother Massa and his family came here, first time they ever came here. And y'all, how many of y'all know that big house? They used to have the Longhorn cattle there. And they have a fountain in the front yard. It probably looked like about 80 acres or something like that. And a big old house, mansion. It's a mansion. And Brother Massa and his family came here, and his kids were little then. And we was driving. We went to Dover and got something to eat, and we was driving down Route 8. And I turned up the drive. I said, come on, let's go to my house. I turned up that driveway and started going. I looked in the rearview mirror. I told my wife, look back. They were like, oh, my Lord, look at this house. Oh, wow, he lives here? And I stopped halfway up that driveway. I said, hey, back up, man. We're going to get shot. Come on, get out of here. Let's get out of here. We went to my double wide. Hey, I don't have the prosperity gospel is that you ought to have a mansion. You're God's child. You deserve it. And the devil will start whispering in your ear and start saying, you deserve better than that. He'll whisper in your ear and say, man, you do always. You know, if God really loved you, you know what? Everything would be so much better for you. But see, when you have the peace of God, knowing you're in the will of God, you're doing what God told you to do, the God of peace, you won't worry about that stuff. You have to get that stuff out of your head, man. Look what Paul goes through. 2 Corinthians. There you go. 2 Corinthians. Look over here. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He says this. And now, like I said, Paul wasn't married. And can you imagine if Paul had a wife? His wife would be going, no, Paul, no, Paul, don't go. Don't go, Paul. What about the 401k? What about?
Maybe he wasn't tough enough to get married.
Well, if Paul was married, his wife, if there was insurance at that time, she would have been wise to have millions of dollars of insurance on this guy. Because this guy, he just didn't back down from nothing. He says, in verse 16, I say again, let no man think me be a fool if otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. He said, that which I speak it not after the Lord, but it as it were foolishly, as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you in the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. And labors more abundant, and stripes more above measure, and prison more frequent, and death often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one, 39 times shot. That's 195 times whipping. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, and journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, painfulness, and watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the cares of all the churches. He said, man, besides all that, with all the trouble and things going in the churches, I had that on me. He said, who is weak? I'm not weak. Who is offended? I burn not. If I needs glory, I will glory in the things which concerning my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. So he goes on and he talks about his ministry, tells about things that he'd been through all the way through there. And you think, man, this guy would not quit. Amen. If we could have a little bit, just 10% of what Paul had, amen, we wouldn't quit. Wouldn't feel sorry for ourselves. And that's one of the biggest, our biggest enemy, we always say, the devil. It's the devil. No, your biggest enemy is not the devil. It's not even the world. It's you. You're your own worst enemy. Your own self will try to talk you out of things and try to talk you into other things and start telling you how much better you deserve, how much good, you know, you should have and all these things. And, you know, if God, I look at it this way, if God's in heaven, he knows me, he knows you, he knows what I can handle and what I can't, then you say, Lord, if you're walking according to his will, he'll give you what you need. He'll take care of you. Look back to Philippians chapter 4. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do my job. I've been here, be going on 30 years. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Been a husband for over 40-some years. Been a father. This year, Samson will be 40 years old. I can't believe I got a son 40 years old. And I remember when I first got saved, we thought, man, the Lord's going to be back. Amen. But what we did, we kept serving the Lord, kept doing what's right. The Lord's going to be back. Amen. And I just tried to help everywhere I went. I just tried to be a help to people, be a help to Christians, be a help to a church. That's our job. Amen. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want to be a good employee working the job. I want to be a good employee. I don't want to be one of them. They say, man, be glad to get rid of this guy.
That's right, man.
I don't want that. I want to be a good employee. I want to be, have a good testimony. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Whenever you need to underline that verse in your Bible, if you haven't underlined it, whenever you're fighting some sin in your life, you can fight it. You can win.
That's right, amen.
You're more than conquerors through him that loves you. You can conquer things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God will give you the strength. If he's called you, which he's called every Christian in here, he's called you to service. If he's called you, then he'll provide. A man needs four things. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I wrote this down. Doc, give us this one time. A man needs four things. He needs salvation, number one. He needs comfort. He needs comfort. And he gets comfort from the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
We can comfort one another. We're supposed to. And Bible tells us that to comfort others that are weak, with the comfort you've gotten. Whatever trials you're going through, God can comfort you through that trial, and you're supposed to learn from it so you can help other people when they're going through it. When they don't know, when the Holy Spirit of God, they don't understand, as babies in Christ, they don't understand how God can comfort them. And God will use you in his stead to comfort other people. That's what we're supposed to do. That's our job. That's our job. Say, oh, I don't believe that. Take your Bible, look in 1 Corinthians. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You're supposed to, where you go get through comfort, and you're supposed to learn to be able to comfort others. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I think it's, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 1. That's what it is. I'm looking at the first chapter there. It's wrong. Here it is, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Paul still writing. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of what?
All comfort.
We try to find comfort in other people. We try to find comfort in things. Whatever, you try to find comfort. It says, who comforteth us in all our what?
Tribulation.
In what? Tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So God says, I won't let that go to waste. I won't let it go to waste. You use it for my glory. Go back to, we have to stop. We've got to stop right there. It's already time. Father, thank you, God, for your comfort. Lord, thank you for the Bible says the Holy Ghost is a comforter. And you said, you had to go away so the comforter would come. And my Father, thank you for many times that the Spirit of God has comforted us. And Father, in our tribulations and our sorrows and our heartaches. And my Father, I pray, God, you'd help my brothers today, my sisters today that's going through any troubles, help them to look to you and get comfort from you, God, not from a p- pill, not from a drug or some drink or some worldly thing. I pray, God, they would get comfort from you. And my Father, thank you for this book that gives us the answers to all our questions and all our problems. And Lord, we thank you again today. Bless the service coming up. Save that soul nearest hell in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Take about a 5-minute break and we'll come back.